We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. And right now on the fan hotline is Mr. Brian Batko. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Brian and I are, and I think maybe even Paul too, everybody's over at the Post-Gazette's writing about the 74 draft. It's the 50-year anniversary. And much to my surprise, Brian stole my story, Paul, before I ever had a chance to write it. What do you make of this?
He's a jerk.
Does he do this often?
Yes, because he's a jerk.
Brian?
Hey, Joe. I did tell our boss, our sports editor, Ryan Wynn, that this could get out over the airwaves. He might get thrown under the bus. He might get backed up over, run over again, backed up, run over again.
No. I'm not blaming the sports editor. I'm blaming you.
You know what the problem is? He didn't send you a detailed...
Yeah, where's your Mackie planner, buddy?
Huh? He didn't send you a detailed planner of what he's writing about.
I want my Mackie planner from you. You should have sent it to me months ago.
I didn't know. Does Jason do that?
Yes, he sends out a plan. Don't you get his planner?
No, I'm not a columnist, so that could be why, but I'll make sure to over-communicate with you going forward.
Yeah. All right. I appreciate that. Let's talk a little draft, Brian. You can read Brian's stuff at postgazette.com. Some years, it feels like everybody knows who they're taking. Najee Harris would be the exhibit A there. Other years, it feels like it could be a million guys. That's what it feels like to me this year. What's your gut feel? Who's it going to be?
Yeah, I don't know about a million, but I do feel like the more I look at the consensus boards and, you know, obviously what a lot of people like us who follow the Steelers closely think, I feel like it's going to come down to a decision at number 20 between Amarius Mims from Georgia and Graham Barton from Duke, which would be interesting for two reasons, because number one, they're two different positions, a tackle and a center. And number two, I feel like they are the most stark examples of a high ceiling pick and maybe a high floor pick between those two guys.
Ceiling or floor? Paul, God. I looked over at Paul and there was a look of terror right on his eyes.
Yeah.
And he clearly was involved in something else. So which one would you recommend? Come on, pick one, will ya?
Oh, man, I think I'd probably go Mims. I think you can find 6'5 centers who are sturdy, reliable, and, you know, have that instant impact ability. But I don't know how many 6'8, 340-pound right tackles who can move the way Mims does that you can get out there. And, you know, they don't often fall to 20 either. We saw last year the Steelers had to trade up a few spots to go get Broderick Jones. Other years, they just didn't have the sweet spot, and that's how Dan Moore is going into his fourth year as a starter here on the line at left tackle.
I read today somebody saying that the Steelers are willing or at least talking about being willing to trade their first-round pick for a high-level receiver. Is there any chance that happens tomorrow?
I mean, I'm not going to say never, especially with the Omar Khan regime. They've done far too many, un-Steelers-ish things over the last couple years that I can't rule out anything. And the one thing that has me sort of still entertaining the idea of Brandon Ayuk ending up here is he did tweet at Mike Tomlin. Maybe that means nothing, but it told me that I feel like there's words getting back to him that there have been discussions and maybe even some high-level serious discussions between his team and the Steelers. It's not like he was tweeting at other teams' head coaches and GMs and teammates about potentially trading for him. So that's just one of those little things I can't get out of my mind when it comes to him.
Brian Bacco of the Post-Gazette on the line. Would you recommend trading up or back? I realize that you would have to have a target to trade up for in the draft or trade ahead. I wouldn't mind seeing them trade back and get some extra picks in this draft.
Yeah, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend trading the first-round pick for Brandon Ayuk either. I think that, you know, you go into this draft knowing receivers a strength, and it can play out in your favor. And I agree with you, Joe. I wouldn't trade up for much the same reason. I think this is one of those years where your positional needs align pretty nicely with where the deepest parts of the draft are, tackle, center, wide receiver. Trading down is one of those things that always sounds good on paper. Always looks good when you run the mock draft simulators and you accrue picks, future picks, more guys that can help right away. But you're right. You need a team that's trying to trade up. And I don't know how many people are going to want to trade up to number 20, especially if this is kind of a, you know, QBs fly off the board in the top 10, even top 5 type of draft.
Well, the thing about trading back, though, and it's the only thing that worries me when I hear people talk, and not Joe, but I mean when I hear in general the idea they could trade back, don't you feel like they need to get at least like one impact player at least in this draft? And I don't know that you're going to get one of those guys if you trade back.
Yeah, I hear you, Paul. And I think, you know, I didn't learn much, honestly, from Mike Tomlin and Omar Khan yesterday. That's by design when those guys get in front of the mic, especially this time of year. But I did raise my eyebrows a little bit at Omar Khan saying, you know, there's no absolutes, basically. But he one of his philosophies is you don't trade away from a good player. So I thought that was kind of him tipping his hand a little bit that, no, they're not going to trade back from number 20 because – They're ranking those 20 guys on their board, and if you just put two and two together, they think they're going to get a good player there. So I suppose there could be a scenario where all that goes out the window. Maybe they're smoke screening, but yeah, I think they're going to pick at 20. I really do, and I think they're going to get a player that they like at that spot.
Well, I think the thing about it, though, is if they go up, you know, then I think they have an opportunity to maybe get an even better player, but it sounds like there's enough tackles and receivers in this draft that there was going to be somebody on the board at 20 at either of those two positions or both that could help them immediately this year.
And I'm not ruling out center. I actually think center's probably more likely than receiver. And I think the only guys who are going to have a top 20 grade from the Steelers or maybe any team at that position are Graham Barton from Duke and Jackson Powers Johnson from Oregon. I know a lot of people are going to tell you, hey, that's just always too high to take a center. But since one of the Steelers cared about some of that conventional wisdom, they were the first team to take a quarterback 2 years ago when everybody said that class didn't have a first rounder. They were the first team to take a running back 3 years ago in Najee Harris when everybody said, no, stop doing that in the first round. So I think they're pretty comfortable with being the team that has their pick at a position, even if it's not necessarily the smart analytical thing to do in today's NFL.
Can Herbig play? Can he man the center position if necessary?
I don't really think so. I feel like I'm looking back at last year in training camp with Trobe. Yeah, it was his first one here, but it just didn't really impress me. And he's only played, I think it's 49 snaps in the regular season at center. Obviously none last year with the Steelers. So I think he could get you out of a game. Maybe he could even get you through a game or two if your starter gets dinged up, but I just do not see him as a, you know, full season number one center. I could be wrong, but I'm going to call their bluff on that one.
Well, again, I think the thing about center is it feels to me like that's a position they're going to address in the second round.
Yeah, and that would be the sweet spot for it. But the only reason that I'll entertain the idea of them maybe doing it in the first is just it has sort of been a comedy of errors for them at that position over the last few years, whether it was Kendrick Green and his failed transition Mason Cole and his snap woes a year ago that ultimately led to him being released with a year left on his deal. We know how proud they are about their history there, from Mike Webster to Dermonti Dawson to Marquise Pouncey. And not that that, you know, means anything that's germane to today, but I just think they want to finally get it right and set it and forget it for the next 5 to 10 years. Doing that in the first round gives you a better chance for sure.
How will you remember the Levi Wallace era, Brian? He's now a member of the Denver Broncos, so Horse will be happy.
I liked Levi Wallace. He was a nice, accessible guy to talk to in the locker room. Very sharp dresser. For my money, might have been the most fashionable guy on the team the last couple of years. But obviously his play had fallen off, and they're going in a different direction. Maybe he'll be good for Horse's Broncos.
Yeah, maybe he'll be good for Horse's Broncos. That brings up an interesting question. Is there any chance they go corner in the first round?
I think there's a chance. I actually think there might be a better chance of that than receiver, believe it or not, just because of the guys that might be available there and reading the tea leaves with a couple of their pre-draft visits and their, you know, Senior Bowl scouting and all that. Maybe Nate Wiggins from Clemson, maybe Cooper DeGene from Iowa if the O-line prospects are really depleted. But I just think you feel really good about the guy that you landed with the pseudo last pick in the first round last year in Joey Porter Jr. Yes, it helps to have two good cover guys, but you don't necessarily need to use all those resources on two shutdown guys. That's why you have one to follow around another team's best receiver. So, divert your draft capital elsewhere.
Brian, you're a wonderful man, and thank you for taking the time, and I forgive you for stealing my story.
I'm sorry, Joe. Like I told you in text, great minds think alike. It just says we were on the same page tracking down a great story. That'll be out tomorrow on the Post-Gazette website if anybody wants to see what we're fighting over.
See you, man.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
See you guys.
What story were you fighting over, by the way?
They don't want us to say yet, so we have to keep it private.
That's no good.
No, it's not. There was just a little miscommunication.
It could have been avoided had he just used the planner.
I know. Everybody should have it. Mackie should like, what do you call it? Patent his planner. He should sell Mackie planners. Would you buy one, Limits, if I bought you a Mackie planner for Christmas next year? Would you be happy?
I want to see what these are like. I hear all about them.
Yeah. They're big. I'll tell you that. They're real big.
So
plan on it next Christmas, okay?
We'll
so tomorrow when we read the Post-Gazette, you're telling me that Batco's story is really your story.
Well, I'm doing a different story sort of along the same lines. So it'll all be explained tomorrow. I think you'll enjoy these stories on the 1974 draft. And man, I've been doing a lot of research on this for the one that I'm writing, Paul. And it's just the greatest draft in the history of sports, right? The history of sports.
Well, it has to be. What, they have 4 or 5 Hall of Famers in that?
Well, they drafted 4, and Donnie Schell, he went in that draft, did he not?
I mean, the thing about it is, it's incredible, though, and one of the reasons why a draft like that could never happen again.
Hmm. Because they had... they were exploring a frontier that nobody else really
but
was.
But, I mean, they were going out and getting guys, you know what I mean, but like, the players they drafted, there was so less of a sense of scouting.
Right.
Like nowadays, every player playing college football everywhere, all of these NFL personnel guys have film on and, you know who they are and you know what I'm saying? So at the end of the day, I just don't know that you would have got, for instance, Mike Webster in the fourth round.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Or a guy like John Stallworth in the third round.
I think it went Swan first round. It's crazy. Swan first round with the 21st pick. Lambert second round, 46th pick. Stallworth fourth round. Jimmy Allen, who was a contributor fourth round. Mike Webster in the fifth round with 125th pick.
Yeah. Fifth round for Webster.
It's mind-boggling. Four Hall of Famers. And they drafted 21 guys that year. 21 guys.
Could you imagine if the draft was 21? What was it? 17 rounds. And
people would watch it just like they watched the combine.
People would watch it. If you're a 17th guy, if you're the 17th pick, Larry Moore. Here's what I'm wondering. What is the highest number a Hall of Famer was drafted at? Is it Brady? It's got to be. But there's some guys that were, like, for instance, he wasn't a Hall of Famer, but he's a really good player until he had some personal issues. But I think Carlton Hasselrig was drafted in like the 12th round or something.
I'm going to find out right now. Late round and undrafted players in the Hall of Fame. I mean, we know Donnie Schell is one, right?
Right.
So I'll read you some. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Roosevelt Brown, Giants. He was the 232nd pick.
Oh.
John Madden. He doesn't count as a player, though.
No.
He was taken 244. Raymond Berry, 232. 245. Chris Hamburger. Remember him for Washington?
Okay.
He was awesome. Let me see if I can find anybody below 245. Wait a second. What's going on here?
What?
Roosevelt Brown was taken in the 22nd round. They had 20 rounds.
Apparently.
Well, then nobody's going to beat that. Nobody's going to beat Chris Hamburger at 245. He was the lowest drafted player ever to make the Hall of Fame.
I'll tell you a guy.
Wait, what was Brady?
Six rounds, so it had to be 180 or something.
Yeah.
199.
Nobody can beat 244. They can't.
But to my point, do you remember Carlton Hasselrig?
Yeah. Right. Wrestler.
If he didn't have some of his personal demons.
Yeah.
And he played out his career, he might have been a Hall of Famer. He was that good.
He was that good.
Okay.
He truly was.
He was pick 312.
He was?
Yes. 12th rounder. 312.
That's amazing. Richard Dent, and that was on Myron Cope's suggestion, as the story goes, I might add. At least I think that's as the story goes. Richard Dent was number 203. He wasn't a bad pick, was he? Who's the lowest drafted Steeler ever to make the Hall of Fame? That's the next question I want to find out. Johnny Unitas, but he didn't stay with them. He was drafted 102nd overall and wound up making the Hall of Fame. I don't think they should have cut him, Paul.
Yeah, probably should have kept him around.
I think they should have kept him. Antonio Brown should be that guy, shouldn't he?
What was he? Sixth rounder as well, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Sixth round. Jack Butler. There you go. He was taken in, he was undrafted. What am I talking about?
There you go. I mean, undrafted.
Listen to the undrafted players that have made the Hall, some of these names. Lou the Toe Groza, Marion Motley, Jack Butler, Night Train Lane, Willie Wood, Mick Tinglehoff, Willie Brown, Emmett Thomas, Larry Little, Cliff Harris, Drew Pearson, Donnie Schell, Warren Moon, Sam Mills, John Randall, and Kurt Warner. So pay attention to after the draft when they bring in those guys.
Can you imagine?
Willie Parker undrafted, James Harrison.
Wait, can you imagine some of those names went undrafted?
Yes. Yeah, like what were they looking at with John Blanking Randall?
I mean, come on.
You don't take him in the seventh. Limits. You don't take a chance on him.
How about Warren Moon?
Warren Moon.
And I get it. I mean, back then it was a little different, but still. And the guy, it wasn't like he was a running quarterback.
I'd rather have the long snapper in the sixth round.
Right.
Colin Holpa.
Remember him?
That was the worst draft pick in Steelers history.
So you
can give me all the Jarvis Joneses and
Colin,
Huey Richardsons. Colin Holtbutt was a ridiculous pick.
Never played.
He was a long snapper.
Jenquez Golson.
Take them all.
But he was at least hurt.
Who?
Golson.
Golson, yeah.
No, you can take them all. Take all the worst ones, and I'll take Colin Holtbutt versus the field. They wasted a pick on a long snapper. Who drafts a long snapper? Paul.
I mean, that's just – and the thing about long snappers is they bring them in, basically by the busload and figure out who can snap it quickest.
Yes. You go grab a guy in a bar and see if he can long snap practically. I mean, that was insanity. And then as the story goes, I think it was it Jim Wexel? Kabali, somebody told me I was running out of ideas at Latrobe one day, and they said, go talk to the long snapper they just drafted. And I thought I knew his name, and I went up and started talking to him, and then I realized I forgot his name and had to say that to him. Like, what's your name again? I tried every way around it, like buddy and this and that. And he didn't seem overly pleased with that.
I would think not.
Wasn't as bad as the day I mistook Brad Wawrinka for Hans Janssen in the Penguins locker room. I think somebody, and I forget who it was, intentionally did that to me. Did you ever interview somebody not knowing they were a different person in a locker room?
I don't know that I've done that.
Good for you. It's not a good feeling.
So you're interviewing somebody.
I'm calling Brad Wawrinka Hans.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've never done that, but I've actually done where I got somebody's bio mixed up. Sort of like the other day when we were like, hey, buddy, are you from Slippery Rock?
Yeah, exactly.
Similar to that,
Do you have that one, Limits? That legendary moment? Were you on with us that day?
Of course I was.
Nick, it's a pleasure to have you. I don't believe we've ever spoken before. You're a recent graduate of Slippery Rock. Am I right about that?
No.
No.
That was tremendous.
That guy was legendary. Who was he?
Nick Faribault, Steelers now.
The Faribault. Steelers guy, yeah.
Steelers now.
My funny thing was, like I said, I've done that where I'm asking somebody, what was it like, at Washington? I went to Oregon. I'm sorry. So you don't really know what it was like at Washington then.
But the Pac-12, right?
Yes. Yeah,
the most you hope for is a sense of humor.
Well, I was sad and then I loved you and it took my breath. And now I think you love me and it scares me to death. Cause now I lie awake and wonder, I worry, I think about losing you. I don't care what you say, maybe I was happy or blue. I don't care what you say, maybe I was happy blue.
Paul, you ready to jump into a mailbag? First of all, Salem's in the Strip just delivered an incredible lunch for us. Just incredible. I'm telling you this right now, as a chicken wing connoisseur from Buffalo, born and raised at Duff's and the Anchor Bar, those are as good as any chicken wings in Pittsburgh.
Salem's Market.
Yeah, they're different. They're like bigger, and the drumsticks are unbelievable. They're incredible.
Yeah.
Chicken tenders were good, too.
The chicken tenders. Listen, oh, my God.
That's the first time I've ever had the chicken tenders.
They're really good.
See, one of the things about being here.
Yeah.
As opposed to when I was at KDK.
You know when the food gets here.
The food is right in front of us right here.
So you get dibs.
And KDK, I'd be on my segment and everything, and I would see, the herd of elephants stumbling through the office, and I always knew, okay, well, the food must be there, but the problem is that meant there was 30 people in line.
Yeah.
So by the time I got down, the only thing that was left was the rice.
This was as good of a lunch as we've had here at the station. I'm dead serious about that.
The other thing that's good from that Salem's that I've actually gotten a few times when they've had them is when they had the hamburgers.
Oh, are they good?
Yeah, they're really good. So It's Salem's Market or is it Salem's Market?
I've heard both.
Yes.
I've heard Salem's.
Salem's. Whatever.
Salem's. Salem's.
Whatever it is, they did a great
tomato,
job.
Tomato, tomato, whatever it is, they're phenomenal.
Job.
They really are.
Good.
All right. Here is my intergalactically red mailbag and some of the questions therein. From Kevin, do you agree that the Steelers went dumpster diving for Wilson and Fields? Nobody else wanted them, and they got them for basically nothing. Paul, was that a dumpster dive?
Dumpster dive, no. But, you know, I guess you could say one man's trash is another man's treasure. But I don't know that's dumpster. When I see dumpster diving, I think it's going. And this is no disrespect, but you know some of the things the Pirates do from time to time, where they just go and get some guy who's a complete, you know, train wreck, mm-hmm. and hope that they can hit lightning in a bottle with him.
Right.
I mean, in Russell Wilson's case, he's just getting older, and Justin Fields is a guy who obviously has pedigree that just hasn't worked out right yet. But I don't know that dumpster diving is what I'd say.
Well. Two things can be true. One, I love that the Steelers did this. And two, I don't think anybody else wanted either one of these guys as a starter. I don't think any other team.
Which is incredible if you think about some of the teams and some of the starters they have.
I know. So both of those are true.
Yes.
Listen, at least the Steelers are trying. That does not mean that this is going to work. I have serious doubts about Justin Fields moving forward. But he's absolutely a high ceiling guy, as they say. Compared to Kenny Pickett, he's a small ceiling and small-handed man, Paul.
Yeah. Well, the thing about Kenny Pickett is when you draft a guy like that and it doesn't pan out,
yeah,
you end up in a place where you got to dumpster dive or take a shot at some people or whatever. You
at know? Least they're trying, right?
Right.
I like that. And I think Wilson's going to be good. I do.
Here's my thing.
Would I bet my house on that? No. And I don't have a very big house, but I wouldn't.
So let's do this, Joe. Forget about Mason Rudolph in the last couple of games.
Yeah.
1 to 10, rate Kenny Pickett in his performance last year.
4.
Okay. So is it reasonable to think that Russell Wilson can play at like a 6.5?
Yeah.
That would be a huge improvement.
Yes, it is.
You know what I mean? And you if you look at what they did on defense, they get a little bit better, add a couple guys, stay healthy. If they improve their quarterback from 4 to 6.5, I mean, they should be pretty good.
Next is a man named B. Duke 22. Don't ask me. Hi, Joe. Silly draft question. How many of the Steelers' choices have to make an immediate impact? And does a bad draft imperil Mike T's tenure? Thanks, he says at the end, Paul. To which I said, nothing is going to imperil Mike T's tenure. He's here as long as he wants to be here. Do you agree with me or no?
I agree. I mean, I think the bottom line, it's been, what, 7 years? 8 years now? Seven, whatever it is, 7 seasons?
7, yeah.
7 seasons without winning a playoff game. I mean, if they don't win a playoff game again this year, I'm sure we'll have the Art Rooney press conference in January where he basically says the same thing he says every year. We're close. We give ourselves a chance. We got to get better. You know, whatever.
And so, then the other piece of that is how many of these guys have to make an immediate impact? To which I would say, you know, last year's draft looks like it could be a great one with Broderick Jones, Joey Porter, Keanu Benton. That's a pretty good 1-2-3. Nick Herbig, Mount Washington, sort of the jury's still out on him. Let's see about Corey Trice. Even Spencer Anderson's still around. But I think almost no matter what, that's going to go down as an A-minus draft, maybe. Maybe an A. Maybe an A+. They need 2 or 3 guys who can play right away, I would say, from this one. You?
Yeah. In fact, and you probably read it on my Mackey planner, mm-hmm. I'm writing about that for today.
How many guys need to impact?
That Omar Khan needs to follow up last year's draft with another one like that. Right?
I don't think there's – yeah. They have so many question marks. We don't even get into depth. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I realize this day and age they're not the only NFL team that struggles with depth, but we're talking about filling blatant holes on the roster like they don't have a center type stuff.
they don't have a number two receiver type stuff. Well, what about number four receiver? What about, you know, what about depth on the defensive line? Because it looks like some recent draft picks haven't panned out. What about depth on the offense, interior of your offensive line? Things like that. So they need a lot of help in a lot of areas. So, yeah, they got to hit again.
But, I mean, if you look at last year's draft, right, you could make an argument that the first five guys they drafted are all functional, usable NFL players that can help them win games.
And some all pros, maybe.
Broderick Jones, obviously, and Joey Porter Jr., I think, are two guys that have a chance to be all pros.
I think Benton has a chance to
be. And then you've got Benton.
High impact.
Who's Darnell Washington is what he is, but he could be somebody who...
Would you like to see them throw to him more?
Yeah, I think in this offense they will.
Do you think he's capable?
Yeah, I think in this offense you're going to see a completely different player. I think he's perfect for this offense. And then, of course, listen, he's a situational player, but Nick Herbig is a guy that can give you, you know, impact plays and whatnot.
They have, in terms of depth, they have radically upgraded their edge rush depth because I think that cost them a couple seasons a few years ago.
Right.
When they just didn't have, well, it didn't help that Melvin Ingram quit. That certainly didn't help. All right, coming up, Derek Shelton. This should be very interesting.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.